who's glad to see the sun after the rain? Yeah, isn't it lovely? I am. Thanks, guys. It was great. We have an awesome group of women who come every morning to set up and to practice music. We have a couple of young guys who are happy to come and help out, and I think that's great. And if you get a chance to, why don't you honour those guys, because it is a really good thing that they all do. Yeah. Over the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at Esther. It's 2 weeks if you include this week, isn't it? But we've been looking at Esther and what we can learn from the book of Esther and from the people in the book of Esther. And last week we looked at the four main characters. We looked at the king, we looked at one of his officials, we looked at Esther herself, and we looked a little bit at Mordecai. And we talked about making sure that we took responsibility for our own lives. We talked about not having pride and making sure that we live in humility before God and amongst our friends. We talked about having wisdom, and we talked about faithfulness. And today I want to take a little bit of a closer look at Esther, and next week we'll do Mordecai. I just want to look a little bit more closely at Esther, because I think there's lots of things as women that we can actually learn from her. Interestingly, a whole lot of the book doesn't talk about her at all. It actually talks about other people. But what do we know about Esther? We know from chapter 2, verse 7, that she was beautiful, that she was an orphan, that she'd been brought up by her cousin. We learn that she was liked by everyone. We learn in chapter 4 that she got to the truth of a situation, that she sought God's answers, and we know that she acted with wisdom and with courage. That's pretty much all it actually says about her. In many ways, it talks about what she did, but when it comes to actually who she was, there's not actually a huge amount. But I think we can actually learn lots of things. She wasn't just a pretty face. Esther might have been a beautiful woman, but that's not what actually made her famous. It's not what she's known for. She is known for her wisdom and for her courage, and for being the one who stepped up at a time of need. She wasn't known for her beauty. We don't remember Esther for what she looked like. And I want us to remember that, because what we look like is actually not that important. What is important are the decisions we make for our life, the way we move forward, the things that we do. The Bible talks about her being brought to her role for such a time. Mordecai says to her, "Who knows that you were brought to this role for such a time as this?" The Jewish nation was about to be exterminated. And so if we recap the story, if we remember, you know, that she became queen, the Jewish nation was going to be exterminated by a guy who didn't like them, and she had the opportunity to step in. And I began to think about that a little bit, because I thought, actually, she'd come and overcome some pretty difficult situations. She and her family had been living in exile. So they weren't even living in their own country. In fact, some of her ancestors hadn't even been living in their own country. They were considered as foreigners. They were considered different. And then her parents had died. She was an orphan. And she had actually been raised by her cousin. She hadn't been raised by her parents because they were not there. And many of us would say that all sorts of problems in life could be caused because, you know, our parents died young or whatever. But Esther rose above that. She rose above that. And then she gets into another situation that's not great. I don't know about you, but being part of the king's harem probably was not on her to-do list. It wouldn't be on mine, and I'm pretty sure it wasn't on hers. But she was herded in with a group of other girls into the king's harem for one night with the king. And I kind of look at her and I think, oh, horrible, horrible situation. I'm sure she got looked after well, a bit of pampering. Who likes a good massage? Yeah, there was pampering and all that kind of stuff, but actually that's not what she'd planned for her life. She would have planned marriage and children and all other stuff, because that was what would have been expected of her in that day. And here she is in the harem of a foreign king with other women that she doesn't really know, whose customs are very, very different to hers. But she didn't whinge. She didn't complain. She said, "I think I'll just get on with living." And it says that she was loved by everybody. She was loved by everybody because she just got on living with her life, not whinging, not complaining, listening to advice, doing what she needed to do. And I find that really quite fascinating. And so I started to think, sometimes what seems the most difficult situation of our life is a day away from our finest hour and our greatest victory. And I thought, how often do we stop or give up or not push forward when God's victory is one day away or even 1 hour away? What situation are you in today, girls? God's victory is just around the corner for you. And Esther knew that. She knew that her victory was just around the corner. And depending on the decisions that we make, that will determine the outcome of that. So we can make a decision to give up, or we can make a decision to push through and make it our finest hour. Esther made the decision to push through. And I want to look at some things that you might think are not particularly related to that, but I want to think about what Esther did that we can learn from her. And the first thing is that she actually set about discovering the real situation when it came to why Mordecai was upset and why he was in mourning. And I find that quite interesting because here she is as a queen. She actually didn't need to worry too much anymore about that, but she chose to care and she chose to take notice. But she discovered the real situation. She didn't jump to assumptions. Who's ever jumped to an assumption here? Yeah, who's ever gone to trouble because they jumped to an assumption? Yep. Esther didn't jump to an assumption. She endeavoured to find the truth of the situation and what was really going on. The wearing of sackcloth and ash and all that kind of stuff could have meant a number of different things, but she chose to find the real reason for it. She sent out her trusted servant. She didn't just send anybody out. She wasn't after gossip. She sent somebody out that she knew would do what she wanted them to do and actually find out what was really going on. It's easy for us, I think, as women to jump to conclusions about what is going on in our life and what is going on around us. We take things at what seems like it seems reality, but it's not. We take it at face value, and it's actually not what's really going on. What do you see and what do you think about when you see people in the street? What assumptions do you immediately jump to about the way they're dressed, the colour of their hair? We all make these assumptions, don't we? How often do you think we would be embarrassed about what the truth was if we actually really knew the truth about those people? I suspect sometimes we make assumptions about people without actually really knowing who they are and what the truth is. But Esther didn't make that mistake. She sought the truth. And I have a picture up here to show you. Josh, if you could pop that picture up. I was actually trying to find a really great picture that I saw when I was a kid. But this one, do we know what this picture is? What is it? It's not everything it seems, is it? Depending on how you see it, it's either a beautiful young lady or a really ugly old lady. What are you seeing in that photo? What are you seeing about people? There's a few lessons in this. You could be seeing the ugly side of people or you could choose to see the good side of people. But what are you seeing? I've given you a copy of that photo to stick in your journals. The reason being that I want us to remember that what something seems on the surface is not necessarily the reality. I wanted to find a great picture. When I was a teenager, I think it was, or early 20s, they showed a group of youth a picture that was a man sitting on a bench with what appeared to be, and it was taken from behind, so you can see the back of their head, what appeared to be a man with his arm around a lady with long blonde hair. And they said to us, what could be going on in this photo? And so you make all sorts of assumptions. He's out with his girlfriend, it's his wife, maybe he's having an affair, all this kind of stuff. When you turn it round, it's a man with his arm around his Afghan dog. And so we make all these assumptions about it being people, and your mind goes everywhere, but the reality is completely different. And I think as women, we are so quick sometimes to make judgments and decisions about people, and we don't know the truth. We don't know what's going on. And I want to say part of the reason Esther was able to do what she did was that she didn't just jump to conclusions about what was going on. She actually found out the truth of the situation. You know, sometimes we get worked up and make some assumptions about things that haven't even happened and that aren't even there. And we need to learn to think a little bit more reasonably and rationally about the situation that we're facing. Get to the facts. Not everything is what it seems on the surface. One of the reasons we need to get to the facts is because we actually can't really solve a situation or make a difference in a situation unless we know what the situation really is. Unless I know how much money I have in my bank account and where my money is going, I can't make a decision, not a proper decision, to fix any situation if I'm overspending my money. We need to look really carefully. You see, estimates and guesstimates just don't work in a financial situation. If you got a financial planner in, they wouldn't be interested in how much you estimated that you earned or how much you estimated that you spent. They would be interested in every dollar that came in and every dollar that went out, because they would want to know exactly what the fact and the truth of the situation was. We need to do that. But it doesn't just happen in our financial situation. What about our friendships? What about the relationships we have at work? What about the things that we make assumptions about people and we don't get to the facts, we don't get to the truth of it? We hear one side of the story and we don't bother to find out the other side of the story. Girls, we are really good at that. We are really good at that. And it's an easy mistake to make, because one person's side of the story sounds so true and so real. And then you hear the other person's side of the story and it sounds so true and so real. And the truth is that we're in the middle somewhere is the reality of the situation. And if we're wise, we'll get to that first. What situations are you in where you need to move forward, where you're a little bit bogged down? Look at the reality of the situation. Look at the reality of the situation. Find out where you actually are. Because when you know where you really are, you can actually begin to move forward. When I'm traveling and I want to go from one place to another, I need to know where I'm starting from before I try to get directions from Google Maps. Because if I don't know where I'm starting from and I put in any old place, I'm not going to get the right directions to go where I need to go. So know where you are and start from where you are. Accept that that's the position, but don't stay there. Move forward from there. I think that's one reason why Esther did so well. She found the facts, but she didn't stay there. She moved forward. The second thing in doing that was that she got God's perspective on it. She got God's perspective. All the human wisdom in the world is great, but if it's not God's perspective on it, then it's not helpful. And we need God's perspective on things. She knew that she would have to approach the king. She knew it was going to be difficult, but she went and she sought God. She said to Mordecai in chapter 4, she says to him, "You go and ask all the Jews to pray and fast for me, and I and my servant girls will do the same." Girls, we need to learn to get aside with God. We need to learn to spend time with him. We need to learn to draw aside from the busyness of what's going on, and before we rush in and try and do something, seek God's perspective on the situation. Because God's perspective will give us the right way to approach the situation. Girls, this is not just about fasting. It's not about not eating food. This, what Esther did, was about seeking God. It was about saying, "I am going to go that extra mile to seek God and to really hear from him before I do anything else." They fasted and prayed for 3 days. Who likes to make a decision 5 minutes ago? Wants God to act straight away? They fasted and they prayed for 3 days before Esther did anything else. How often when we have a situation, do we take time to draw aside and to seek God and look at the situation from God's perspective before we take any action. If you're like me, you might want to just run forward. It's a really good thing. I said it a few weeks ago with kids with ADHD. You know, stop, think, do. Well, in this situation, it's stop, go spend some time with God before you do anything at all, and then do. I think we can become women who do that, because Esther had abilities. Esther had things that she could do in the natural. She had brains, she had wisdom, she had a whole lot of stuff. But she didn't rely on that. See, sometimes we want to rely on our own self. We want to rely on what we can do ourselves. We want to rely on the abilities that we have. But Esther didn't just rely on those abilities. Those abilities were important, and God didn't just ignore them. He used them. But when we use them without God, we're not using them the way God wants us to. And so Esther didn't rely on her ability. She relied on God's ability to work in her and through her to make a difference in the situation. Ephesians 3:20, which is the verse that comes up at the beginning of women here. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to his power at work within us. You know what? God is able. We say this a lot, girls, but we need to get it. We need to practice it. We need to understand that whatever it is that we're asking God for, he is able to do way more. And I think Esther understood that principle. She understood that if she went to God first, if she got God's perspective on it, that he was able to do far more through her than she could have ever done by herself. Far more, because God is able. It was no coincidence that when she entered the king's presence that he extended the scepter to her and said, come here and ask me what you want. It was not a coincidence. It wasn't just that the king was having a great day. It wasn't just that he was feeling good about life. No, God had worked in his heart to open the way so that when Esther came in, he was pleased with her. And we open doors, we open ways when we go and we seek God first and allow him to work in the situation, and then we act. She had to act. She had to go in, and she had to risk her life to go in, but she'd sought God first, and she was trusting in God's ability to do it. Girls, sometimes that's really hard, isn't it? It's really hard to just trust that God will make that way. But Esther trusted that God would make the way. Psalm 34:10 says that those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. God wants good things for our lives. He wants good things for our lives, girls. God is not wanting bad stuff to happen. He wants good things for our lives. Isaiah 55:6 says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. And it goes on to say, that verse that we love, God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. I love that chapter. If you ever want to read a really good chapter, go read Isaiah 55. It's great. It's a really great chapter that talks about seeking God and who God is and what God does. I love it. What situation do you face now where you feel that you've done all that you can do? Where you've done everything that your own ability has been able to do? Can I encourage you to seek God? Seek God for that situation. Get his perspective on that situation and then act out of what God is telling you to do and move forward in it. But seek God and get his perspective. So Esther understood the reality. She got God's perspective and then she acted with wisdom. And the third point is act with wisdom. We can get God's perspective and we can know and we can move forward, but sometimes we need to just have wisdom in how we do that. Sometimes we just go charging off thinking, well, God's told me this is what I need to do, and we just go barging forward and knock everybody out in the way and leave a trail of destruction. My mum used to hate taking me. In fact, I don't think she ever did much. She used to say I was like a bull in a china shop when she took me shopping, because I would climb on everything, I would pick up everything, I would throw things and catch them again and do all sorts of things, so she just found it was easier not to have me around when she was in the china department. Fair call, I would say. That's wisdom. But some of us run forward and we run like little kids through a china shop, knocking everything over, because God told us to. No, he didn't. He might have told you to do something, but he didn't tell you to wreak destruction and havoc along the way. Act with wisdom. act with wisdom. When Esther went in, very early on for her first night, when before she'd even become queen, she acted with wisdom. She asked advice from Haggai, the servant, who was able to advise her on the right way to approach the king. So she had wisdom in what she did. She asked for advice and she accepted advice. And then later on, when she comes in before the king and he accepts her, again, she uses wisdom. She doesn't just blurt out what the problem is or what she wants. She is wise. She knows that the king likes food. She knows that he likes a good old banquet and have his friends around. So she says to him, I would like you to come to a banquet. Would you come to a banquet? Can you see how she's using wisdom to prepare the situation? Because when she comes to that banquet, she asks him to hold another one and to come to her banquet. And it's only then that she says, this is what's going on, that the Jewish people are going to be killed and that I will be caught up in that if this is what you allow to happen. See, she was wise. She didn't just blurt it out. Who's ever blurted out something and wished they never said it? Yeah, all of us. She was wise. She was so wise. I remember a situation years ago. In fact, it was back when Pam and David were moving down here, and the lady that had been in their home was struggling to find a place of her own and to actually move into that place and to move out of where Pam and David actually wanted to move into. And I was with a group of friends who were, as far as I knew, had no connection to Pam and David whatsoever. There's a group of friends from down here. We were chatting and we were talking, and I was just talking about how Pam was moving in. And I was very careful, thank God I was very careful in what I said, because as I started talking about that, one of the other girls piped up and said, I have a friend who's living in a house and she can't find anywhere to go. And it was the same person. What if I had said something negative, something horrible? What if I had done that? Sometimes we need to put a guard on our tongue. We need to watch what we say and be wise about what we say, because the words once said can't be taken back. We can seek God's forgiveness for them, but we can't make them not happen, because once the sound is out there, it's gone for eternity and we have to account for it. And we need to get this right. Ecclesiastes has that lovely little section in chapter 3 that says there's a time and a season for everything. And it actually says in the second part of verse 7, there is a time to speak and there is a time to keep quiet. Oh, girls, if we could get that right. If we could get it right, when it's the time to speak, let's speak. When it's the time to be quiet, let's hold our tongue. Let's not say stuff. Let's not give in to that urge to tell somebody that the hat that they're wearing is totally revolting. Let's be wise in what we say, you know. Let's not blurt stuff out. Wives, here, learn when to speak and when to be quiet. I think it takes a lifetime. How often do we get ourselves into problems when we speak instead of staying quiet? Yeah. We need discernment and we need wisdom. And Esther had this discernment. She had this wisdom. She knew what she needed to do. Girls, if you don't have that, or you're not sure and you think, God, I don't know whether I have wisdom or not, the Bible says all we have to do is ask God for his wisdom. And he will give it to us. And he won't judge us for asking. He will give us his wisdom. That's in James 1 verse 5. It says, does anyone lack wisdom? Then ask God. Does anyone lack wisdom? Then ask God. Do you know, in those situations where you're not sure what to do, you're not sure how to take that step forward, ask God for his wisdom to move forward. His wisdom. Don't be too proud to seek God's wisdom, because it can save your life. It saved Esther's life and it saved the life of a nation. Don't be too proud to seek God's wisdom. You know, girls, we don't have the answer for every situation that we face in life. But God does. And he has the way forward. We need to understand wisdom. God places people in our lives who are also wise and have wise things to say to us. And sometimes we want to block our ears and go, la, 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 I don't want to hear you. Can I encourage you? If you've got people that really care about you and that you know are really living just living for God and living a godly lifestyle, if they are talking to you and advising you in some way, can I encourage you to listen? Please listen. Because it might save your life. It might save you from making a major mistake. You know, there is so much stuff goes on in life. And there are so many people in our church that have godly wisdom that they are happy to give if you ask them for it. And girls, if you're in a life group, if you're needing something, ask a life group leader, ask someone that really cares about you to help you and to seek God and to, you know, if they give you advice, then listen. Listen. Because God's placed people in our lives for a reason. Proverbs 13:10 says, too much pride causes trouble. Be sensible and take advice. Too much pride causes trouble. There are times in our lives when people will say stuff to us that we may not like, but they're doing it for our best interest. Let's be prepared to listen. I loved this one. I found in Proverbs 20:18 when I was doing some research for this. Be sure you have sound advice before making plans or starting a war. And I thought to myself, gee, I wonder how many of us want to start a war. Perhaps not too many. We might be more interested in stopping the war. But the point is that if you're going to do something major, if you're going to step out, then take advice. Don't think that you have all the answers. God has all the answers, and sometimes he uses people to deliver them. And so we need to take advice. I notice in this that Esther, when she did take advice, took it from somebody that she trusted, who was the trusted servant that she took advice from, someone who was trusted. Sometimes we ask advice from the wrong people. Not wise to do so. Girls, don't ask advice from someone whose life's a mess. I don't mind if you have people whose lives are a mess as your friends. And I don't mind if you love them and care for them and help them move forward. That's what we're supposed to do. But don't ask advice from someone whose life is a mess. Ask advice from someone who has got it right. And ask them how they got it right. Girls, if you're struggling with stuff in your life, and all of us have stuff that we need to deal with and work through. All of us have stuff that God is wanting us to continue to work through. Make sure that we're getting advice and asking it from the right people. Choose carefully who you listen to. Have we carefully considered who we're going to allow to speak into our lives? Have we carefully considered it? Who are you going to allow to speak into your life? It could be the difference between life and death. Maybe not necessarily a physical death, but it could be the difference between spiritual life and spiritual death. And we need to carefully consider, because listening and taking advice from the wrong person is literally disastrous. So ask yourself, who am I listening to? Who am I listening to? I ask that myself. Who am I listening to? Who am I allowing to speak into my life? What am I taking notice of? And again, if someone that you trust has your best interests at heart, take note of what they say. I've learnt to do that. I don't always like hearing what they have to say, but we should weigh it carefully, because actually what they're saying is for our best interest. And the other thing that I would say to you is, when we receive advice, weigh it against what the Word of God says. Weigh it against what the Word of God says. Because even the best meaning, most godly person that you know is not God. And they can make mistakes. And so we need to understand that we need to weigh what it says against what the Word of God says about it. So girls, this morning, just before we finish up, can I encourage you, find the truth. And start with the truth. Start there. Start at that point. Seek God's perspective for your next move. Before you do anything else, seek God's perspective. And then when you do move forward, act with wisdom. Why don't we stand this morning? Maybe you're here this morning and you have no idea about who God is or anything else. Can I say to you, God loves you immensely. God sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for you and to make you clean before God. And God is asking us to come into a relationship with him. He's asking us to just walk with him and to know him better. And he's saying it doesn't matter what's gone on in your life before, because we have a moment in time to make a decision. We were singing about God and about how he loves us and how he shed his blood for us and about his glory. And Kate talked about just the majesty that God is and the amazing person, amazing way that God reaches out to us. Can I encourage you this morning, if you're not in relationship with God, choose this morning to get back into relationship with him. Get back into relationship with your Creator through Jesus. Why don't we just bow our heads this morning? Father, I just thank you, Lord, that as we come before you, I pray, Lord, that we will open our hearts and our lives to you and that we will walk in relationship with you. Lord, I ask that you would forgive us for the things that we've done wrong and that, Father, that you would make us right before you through the blood of Jesus Christ. Father, we offer ourselves to you this morning. Father, we say we want to honor you this morning. We want to follow you in Jesus' name. And Father, I pray, Father, that you would help us to be women who act with wisdom, women who seek your face, Father, women who just move forward following your direction for our life, following your purpose for our life. And Father, help us to remember that we may be just one day away from our greatest victory. In Jesus' name, amen.